This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Peter King. She was the youngest American hostage held by Hamas. President Biden has officially confirmed that she was among 14 Israelis and three foreign nationals who were released by Hamas.
A little girl named Abigail, who turned 4 years old. She spent her birthday, that birthday, and at least 50 days before that, held hostage by Hamas. Today, she's free, and Jill and I, together with so many Americans, are praying for the fact that she is going to be all right.
Correspondent Holly Williams.
The temporary ceasefire has entered its third day, allowing truckloads of desperately needed aid to enter the Gaza Strip. And Israel's government has held up its end of the bargain by releasing scores of Palestinian prisoners, many of them women and children. They have been welcomed home with celebrations on the streets of the West Bank, at which some have waved the green flag of Hamas.
The president has said the agreement could be extended, and that comes as welcome news to World Food Program Director Cindy McCain, who appeared on CBS's Face the Nation.
Bottom line, we need more trucks in, we need more aid in, we need to be able to have more access to be able to distribute the aid. And, you know, hopefully maybe a longer time to do that, not just 4 days.
More backlash from the war in this country, where police in Burlington, Vermont, are looking for whoever shot and wounded three Palestinian students near the University of Vermont. Law enforcement sources tell CBS News the three were wearing scarves symbolizing Palestinian solidarity when a white man with a handgun confronted, then attacked them. It's sunny right now in Wichita, Kansas, but earlier, the snow plows were out and around. The snow is in places like Bloomington in Illinois, Toledo, Ohio, and further north. That could mean trouble for flyers. WBBM-TV's Asal Rezai is in Chicago.
We've seen airports packed really all week long, but today will be the busiest of them all. Midway and O'Hare airports expecting at least 300,000 passengers, and that's just for today.
Sheriff's deputies say four people have been found dead at a homeless encampment at Autry, North Carolina, east of Fayetteville. WNCN-TV's Amalia Roy is there.
There are four dead bodies, two male and two female gunshot victims in what the police are saying is an apparent murder-suicide.
Pope Francis didn't make his usual full appearance at St. Peter's this morning, but he did speak briefly. He explained that he couldn't speak from his window at the papal apartment because of a lung infection. He's still expected to go to a climate conference in Dubai. This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best, the only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition, because the way we care is anything but ordinary. Only Eggland's Best.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new survey finds immigrant students need better help in school. Edwin J. Vieira has more.
The Youth Truth Reimagining Migration Survey was designed to examine the perspective of immigrant students as to how they're doing in school. The survey finds immigrant students don't feel they can be themselves there. There was also middling scores when asked if they feel like part of their school's community. Adam Strom with Reimagining Migration describes the importance of an immigrant student's native language to their education.
If you're in a school where folks are encouraging you to speak your own home language when appropriately, your school experience is much better. You have a much stronger sense of belonging. You have a much stronger sense that your peers like you. You see yourselves in textbooks more. You see yourself in the classroom more in what's being taught.
He notes if schools take the opposite approach, this can increase a student's sense of isolation. While there has been more attention paid to immigrant students' mental health, cultural and attitudinal barriers like stigma remain a factor. Though there are ways to ensure immigrant students feel included, there are some challenges to making these work. Along with anti-immigrant sentiments flooding the country, teacher shortages mean educators can't be one-on-one with their students. But Jimmy Simpson Jr. with Youth Truth says another factor is that immigrant students are more than immigrants.
So thinking that there are migrant students also part of the LGBTQ community, Black immigrant students or brown or BIPOC immigrant students, they have very different types of experiences than a migrant student who may be white.
Simpson adds, seeing people beyond just being immigrants goes a long way to creating a welcoming environment for immigrant students in schools. This is Edwin J. Vieira. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Snow today, additional accumulation under an inch. We'll see high temperatures in the lower 30s, breezy winds as they'll turn to the northwest in the afternoon. Overnight, mostly cloudy skies, blustery with lows dropping to the middle teens. Right now, it's 28.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our producer and engineer. It is Tuesday, November 21st, 2023, 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. We welcome you in on a, well, a little bit gloomy day here in the city of Madison. A little bit of wetness going on here, a little precipitation, a little snow this morning in the air, a few flurries, overcast. We are high atop State Street, one block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommers, how are you on this fine Tuesday?
Not so bad, and you?
I feel a little bit like the Scarecrow or the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz because I had forgotten I did not only have a haircut appointment, what's left of it, although I should get a discount because I really don't have that much left, and then I had to go immediately over to a dental appointment for a cleaning and treatment and everything. So, you know, they've tried to shine me up a little bit, but you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
You've had a busy morning.
It's been a busy morning, and now I'm glad to be with not only you, but also our great listening audience across the state of Wisconsin. Big day today, and we welcome you in on a big show. We are honored to have two legislative giants in the state of Wisconsin joining us today, and they are U.S. I almost promoted you there. Wisconsin's former Wisconsin State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz on the Republican side and former Wisconsin State Senate Majority Leader Tim Cullen on the Democratic side. In all full disclosure right up front, many of you who listen to this program know that I worked for Dale for a number of years, and I teased Senator Cullen that I kind of crossed over and worked for the other side a little bit too, because when Dale and Tim were working on not only redistricting, but also on mining legislation, along with former Senate Majority Leader and Democratic Senator Bob Jauch. But it was really my last stint in the legislature in Dale's last term, I had the opportunity to work with all three of them. And, you know, it's just... it was a great way to end my time working for the state legislature in truly a bipartisan fashion, because it really drove home the point to me that government works best when it works together. And we are very happy to have both former Senate Majority Leaders Dale Schultz and Tim Cullen with us today. Dale, a Republican, Tim, a Democrat. And these were the two, Mr. Zommers and everybody else, that these were the last two people, one Republican, one Democrat, who authored a true bipartisan bill together. There have been other bills authored either by one side or the other, but this was the last time you had a Republican and a Democrat co-author a bill on fair maps and redistricting in the state of Wisconsin. We welcome in the studio here on State Street, State Senator Dale Schultz, and via phone from the beautiful city of Janesville, Tim Cullen. Gentlemen, how are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. And I have to tell you, Todd, with respect to your haircut and your complaining about the price of it, my barber told me, be quiet, Dale. I might start charging you a finder's fee.
And you go to one of the classic all-time barbers in the city of Madison, George Barber to the Stars.
Yeah, Petrinus, you bet.
And he cut, I mean, all kinds of former legislators' hair.
Every big deal in downtown Madison, and there are a lot of them, yeah, at least in their own minds. And he managed for 50 years never to allow people to, you know, guess with any certainty what political party he leaned towards, yeah, which I thought was remarkable.
It really is. And Senator Cullen joins us from the beautiful city of Janesville, his hometown. Of course, you represented that area for years in the state Senate. Senator Cullen, did you ever take a visit to George Barber of the Stars just to get the political dirt?
I went to some barber up there in the early 80s, but I think Dale ought to be concerned now that all the barbers in Richland Center are going to find out he's getting his barber work done in Madison up there with all those liberals instead of being down there in Richland Center with the home crowd helping out the economy of Richland Center. But that'll be Dale's to handle. I can't handle everything.
See, now this is
kidding, of course.
This is a great example. I mean, to travel the state with these two guys and hear this good-natured joshing back and forth. I mean, honest to goodness, you guys, this was just one of the highlights of my time working in the legislature, because you guys would kid each other and give each other a hard time. But, you know, at the end of the day, you really did your best to get things done. And Senator Cullen, you know, Bill Proxmire, a longtime U.S. senator from Wisconsin, Democrat, wasn't that kind of his shtick to go into these small towns, whether he needed it or not, and get a haircut just to kind of get the local flavor?
Speaking of guys without
heard that,
much
but
hair.
I sure wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
he didn't have a lot to cut, so...
Well,
God rest his soul.
Absolutely. One of the great Wisconsinites of all time. I know that both of you were at the state capitol earlier today as the Wisconsin State Supreme Court is taking up this important case involving gerrymandering and fair maps in Wisconsin. Senator Cullen, you made your way back to Janesville. I know you have other things to do, and we appreciate you taking the time today. And Dale, appreciate you stopping by our studios in Madison before you head back to Richland Center. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, give us the flavor at the state capitol. What was it like this morning, and what were your takeaways? Start with you, Senator Cullen.
Well, I thought it was energy. There was just energy there. That there was all these people with all had signs, you know, of stop gerrymandering. Some were, you know, produced and then handed out to them. But a lot of them brought their own signs from their own, that they had handmade their own signs. So that was really kind of neat. And the Supreme Court chamber was packed, and so they had some TVs set up in the rotunda so people could watch who could not get in there. We had a little rally there. I spoke at it for a little while, and then they had some other people who are involved in fighting gerrymandering, say a few words. And then they had the grannies. There's a grannies, a group of women from Madison. They call themselves the grannies something. Uh-huh. And they sing.
I believe the Raging Grannies.
Oh, yeah, the Raging Grannies. Yeah.
There you go, Raging Grannies. Well, they were terrific, and everybody loved them. And they got the crowd to sing with them. They'd sing a line, and the crowd would repeat the line. And it was a wonderful event. And I told the crowd, this is a really great day because it's the first day for all these years that Dale and I are running around the state and other people were fighting on this issue. This is the first concrete, specific action to finally, you know, get rid of gerrymandering and have fair maps with this action in the Supreme Court this morning. So kind of a big deal. It took 12 years to go from the first gerrymander to get to today, but we got to today.
And Dale, you were there as well this morning in the rotunda of the Capitol. You stopped by the Supreme Court chambers, I know, for a minute. What were your takeaways being there on the ground this morning?
It was just exciting because this is an issue that Tim and I have lived with for 10 years. Politics has changed a lot since we left the building. And I think listening to the arguments this morning, listening to the singing in the background, sort of reminded me that politics wasn't always sucking lemons and eating prunes all day, that there are people who can be polite, thoughtful, listen to one another, and search for the truth. And that's really what the Supreme Court is all about. Most legislators, just like most of the public, don't take the time ever to go down and listen to oral arguments in the Supreme Court. Now, I'm not an attorney. I was actually born into a legal family, but you know, I decided to go straight to the top and make the laws rather than worrying about arguing about what it was. But seriously, the show is remarkable because you're dealing with the legal heavyweights in the state, and a very controversial and important topic. And a very wise man told me before I came in here, oh, I understand, you know, most legislators and most attorneys, they're one of two kinds. There are those that learn the arguments and, you know, the points on the talking papers and the like, and spit them back and always try to steer the questions over to what they want to say. And then there are the other kind that think on their feet and enjoy the repartee. So think of it, he said, like the difference between classical music and jazz. And I said, I like that a lot. That's a really great way to sort of describe the legislature and the court. And of course, you see the very best minds in the state at the state Supreme Court. And whether I agree with a particular judge or not on this case or the other, I have enormous respect for those people. And it's an institution that the public has to have respect for. And I thought they all acquitted themselves very well during the arguments. Obviously, it's kind of easy to tell on a couple of them where they are going to come down. Others, you just saw the quality of their thinking and, you know, got a real good sense of their mind with the questions they asked.
We're going to be taking listeners' calls a little bit later in this show. We are talking to former Senate Majority Leaders Dale Schultz, a Republican, Tim Cullen, a Democrat. Dale joins us here in the studio in Madison. Senator Cullen joining us from Janesville, Wisconsin, via phone. We appreciate you both being here. Again, you've been so gracious to say you're fine with taking questions, so we're going to invite calls here in just a minute. Senator Cullen, before we get into the larger scope of what things that you and Dale worked on while you were in the legislature and kind of talking about this larger issue of fair maps and gerrymandering, help folks understand what's going on today. Dale talked about being there. You were there as well with him. This case that's being brought before the Supreme Court, again, Judge Janet Protasiewicz, I feel this, along with women's health care issues, were the two driving issues that helped propel her into a large margin victory, 11-plus points back in April. Now liberals have a 4-3 majority on the state Supreme Court. This issue that's coming before the Supreme Court today, Senator Cullen, a lot of it revolves around these islands in the current iteration of legislative maps and whether or not by law that this is defined as contiguous. And the result is that the Supreme Court could, keyword could, throw out all the maps. Help people kind of contextualize this, Senator Cullen. What is this case really about and where could this go?
Well, I'm not an expert on the case. I understand what it's trying to do. It's just a piece of the problem is what it is. But to say that islands are somehow contiguous, I mean, if you have to leave your district the way it is today with these islands, meaning that you have to leave your district, go through another legislator's district to get to your district again, which is on this island on the other side of the other legislator's district. I mean, that is no more contiguous than the man in the moon. I mean, that's just outrageous, and I hope that the court acknowledges it. But I heard one of them was trying to argue that they are contiguous. Well, they're not. In fact, there's one just east of Madison where the legislator, I believe, can go through two different districts to get to two of his islands
right. That
are not touching any part of his district. So
hold that thought, but, Senator Cullen. We'll come back and talk with you and also former State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz. Your calls as well. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tahlo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along here on a Tuesday, November 21st, 2023. Big issue, which a lot of Wisconsinites have been talking about for a while, and unfortunately, nothing really has gotten done in the legislature when we come to looking at gerrymandering, which is, you know, something that's, as my fifth grade teacher, Oda Scott, was fond of saying, it's been happening since God was a boy. And one of the things that I really appreciate about both of you, and again, we're talking to former Senate Majority Leaders Tim Cullen, Democrat, joining us via phone from Janesville, and Dale Schultz, a Republican, joining us here in our studios in Madison. One of the things I enjoyed when I traveled with you both and was your staffer, when you travel the state talking about this, is that you both said, look, neither one of us or neither one of our parties are blameless. I want to go back and start with you, Senator Cullen, and then to Dale. You know, Democrats, you said straight out, you know, this is not a Republican-only problem.
No. Gerrymandering is not a – this sounds probably crazy to some of your listeners, but let me explain it. Gerrymandering is not a partisan issue. Now, it sure looks that way in any one state. But what it is when one party gets the governorship and control of both houses of the legislature, they have total control in the year following the census when they redraw the maps to try to reflect population changes. That's the only reason why they do that every 10 years, official reason. But they can't control themselves. They got total power. They gerrymander. And as I said this morning to the folks up there, and said several other places as well, I can take you to Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Illinois, and show you Democratic gerrymanders because Democrats had total control in all three of those states. And some more. Those are just three that I'm familiar with. But then you take three states where Republicans had total control, Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. They couldn't help themselves. They control. One of the things they do, by the way, when they gerrymander, they are guaranteeing themselves a job for the next 10 years. Mm. Their salary, their per diems, their pension grows, their health insurance grows. And I would like to ask all of your listeners, does any of your listeners have a job where they on their own action can guarantee themselves that job for the next 10 years?
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Don't think so.
Right. I don't think so either. Dale, you were in the majority party, the Republican Party, certainly your last term and for much of your legislative career. And I know one of the things that frustrated you was it was difficult to get your own party to get on board with this. One of the things I admired about this bill that you and Senator Cullen co-authored back in 2013, 2014, was that it said, we're not going to do this now. It'll be 10 years in the future. So who the heck knows who's going to be in control then? But you couldn't even get a public hearing from former Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, and you were the third ranking Republican in your own caucus at the time.
Well, that's true, and it's sad because it was evident to both Tim Cullen and myself back then that there was a growing dissatisfaction with government and whether it really represented people or whose interests were actually being served, the public's or the particular legislator. And we saw this as a way of helping to restore faith. You remember, we had come off of all of Act 10 and had 120,000 of our closest friends outside the building, chanting and singing a lot. And it made a big impression on both of us as we sat there and we thought about what kinds of things can we do to help heal this democracy of ours. And nowadays, it's really quite commonplace. People talk a lot about, will democracy survive? How are we going to restore our mutual faith in the process that we have decided will govern each other by? And I think that issue is still relevant, and gerrymandering is directly related to that. When one side or another, depending upon, you know, who's in total control, can thwart the will of the people, you have a problem. And it was interesting this morning as I listened to the oral arguments, the interplay between the folks that were making their arguments and the justices talked a lot about stare decisis and sticking with previous court opinions, and that should be the role of the courts. They shouldn't legislate from the bench. Mm-hmm. Or does the courts actually provide the shield for the public as a whole from a rogue executive or legislative branch? Mm-hmm. And there are thoughtful and intelligent arguments on both sides of that issue, and ultimately they will make a decision. But I think that the public has pretty much told us that there's a big problem here, and they want it fixed, and they don't completely understand the legalese and how courts go about their decision-making. And I really applaud those justices this morning, particularly Justice Kurofsky.
I'm sorry.
Jill Kurofsky had a line of questioning I thought that was very thoughtful. But actually, as I said before, all of the justices asked great questions, and many of them revolved around this central principle. And that's what makes it intriguing. Do you know, it's hard to be in a democracy. You have to put active effort into it. Mm-hmm. You have to put time into it. And that's what I thought was going on this morning and why I was there.
We're going to take your phone calls in the next segment for former Senate Majority Leaders Dale Schultz, Republican, and Tim Cullen, Democrat. But before we do, gentlemen, a quick answer for both of you here before the bottom of the hour. Dale, one of the things or the criticisms of Republicans has been they keep saying, oh, politics was never a part of drawing these lines. You were there in 2011, the time before these current maps. It was really the foundation of the current maps. What did you see when you were in the majority party when Republicans drew the maps in 2011?
There was no gambling going on in the place. I mean, come on. I think most people who are casual observers of the political process know that politics is always going on. And let's just admit it. The question is, what is it about the process that will keep us within due bounds with one another?
But there was computer software being used. There was a law firm across the street from the Capitol, and you were required to sign a non-disclosure thing in order to look at your district, the proposed district, correct?
That's all true. In many respects, that isn't strange. That's often the case when you engage attorneys. They like to control things. I think what was the surprise was the analytics and the computing power that was available that allowed people to draw incredible numbers of districts according to certain parameters.
Senator Cullen, about a minute left before I let you, before we go to break, we're going to come back and take callers in a moment. But one of the things I know that I was concerned is, if the liberal court finds these maps are unconstitutional, agree or disagree, the hope is that there's not an overreach by the liberal court or Democrats, but we actually have fair maps.
Well, we have to have fair maps. I think if the Democrats ever tried to have this be an opportunity to switch to a Democratic gerrymander, they would lose credibility for years. You can't be all Mr. and Mrs. Holy for 12 years when the other parties got power, and then when you have a chance to get some power, and you can't help yourself either. And you put up right. with you pursue a gerrymandered map.
Give us a call on the other side, 844-967-2789. Your questions for Dale Schultz and Tim Cullen, 844-967-2789. Back after this.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. President Biden says he wants a temporary ceasefire between Israel and Hamas to be extended after a 4-year-old American girl was freed today among 17 hostages.
This deal is delivering life-saving results. Critically needed aid is going in and hostages are coming out. And this deal is structured so that it can be extended.
Israel says it's open to an extension. If you're traveling today, beware airports are backed up nationwide. This woman just got into San Diego.
Our flight was delayed for an hour and a half, and now we're stuck here waiting for the rental car.
Pope Francis says he has lung inflammation, but still plans to go to Dubai this week for a climate change conference. CBS's Anna Matrenga has more from Rome.
After canceling his appointments on Saturday, the Vatican said the Pope was suffering from a mild flu and that he had undergone a CT scan to rule out any pulmonary complications.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Badgers win back the axe. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers beat Minnesota 28-14 in Minneapolis. That's the sound of the Badgers' offensive line chopping down the Gophers' goalposts with Paul Bunyan's axe after the game. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickle.
That was a special night. That was a special game. I got to give it to our guy. I mean, the heart, the soul, the grit. But I just mean that the ability to sustain some things. Because at the end of the year, we all know there's nicks and bruises. There's guys that are hurt. There's plenty of guys that I said there's no way they would have played today, and they did.
The Badgers now 7-5 and wait for a bowl bid. The Gophers finish at 5-7. Head coach P.J. Fleck.
Sorry, we weren't able to give you the year that you all probably really wanted. There's a lot of things. And I mean, at one point, there were six freshmen on that defense on the field at one time today. That's not where you want to be, and there's a lot of reasons for that.
That's Minnesota head coach P.J. Fleck. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some flurries or light snow showers tonight. Mostly cloudy overnight with a low of 15 degrees. Winds will still be gusting 20 to 30 miles per hour. For your Monday, partly sunny, 22. Winds a little bit less. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 26.
Right now, it's 28.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Thanks for joining us over your lunch hour. Maybe you're out taking a walk. Maybe you're out you're sitting at your desk or just home enjoying the nice fall weather this Thanksgiving week. Maybe you're on the road. Dale, are you going anywhere for Thanksgiving or stay in Richland Center?
Well, I'm going to run out to the farm in the morning and do my customary morning hunt on Thanksgiving.
But that's true. I mean, Tim knows this. Senator Cullen knows this. But for Dale to appear here in Madison, we call it, back when I worked for it, we called this Holy Week, Gun Deer Week. You did not bother Dale on his tree stand during deer season.
That's true.
Did you get your deer yet?
I shot a doe day before yesterday. So I'm just out enjoying myself and hoping for that big buck.
And Senator Cullen, any Thanksgiving plans in particular, or just going to hang out this week?
Well, I'm very, very fortunate that four of my children, the five, live in Janesville.
Oh, wow. That's great.
And what Barb and I figured out several years ago was that they're married, and they are the in-laws. Mm-hmm. And so by having Thanksgiving here for everybody, they were all had to go run over to the in-laws and have dinner there and fill themselves right up, and then come here and try to eat here. Mm-hmm. And we thought, that's silly. Why don't we just have our Thanksgiving on Friday?
Well,
they can
great.
Go to their in-laws mm-hmm. on Thursday on Thanksgiving, and everybody's happy. And I could watch the Packers on Thursday. And then there's another game on after that one. There's not three games on. It used to be just the Packers. Now there's football from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. So it works out great. So they'll all come. We'll get together on Friday.
That's great.
We're actually going to get together at one of my daughter's homes. Mm-hmm. Works out great.
Well, that's great. Happy Thanksgiving to both you and your families, and happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners as well. You've heard them, State Senator Dale Schultz, State Senator Tim Cullen, both former state senators, both former majority leaders, Dale of the Republican Party, Tim of the Democratic Party. They are here today to talk about this issue before the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. We're happy to have them here. West Politics now reading from their story from this morning. Wisconsin justices are hearing arguments in a lawsuit that could overturn the legislative maps drawn by the Republican lawmakers and blessed by the state Supreme Court's former conservative majority, with Justice Janet Protasiewicz now on the court and making it 4-3 liberal majority. The justices are expected to focus on two issues. First, are the current maps unconstitutional based on non-contiguous territory? And second, did the court's decision in April of 2022 to select lines drawn by Republican lawmakers and vetoed by Democratic Governor Tony Evers violate the separation of powers? A group of Democratic voters that filed the lawsuit originally asked the court to determine whether the maps constitute an unconstitutional partisan gerrymander. The court declined to focus on those issues. Still, the plaintiffs have argued in their filings that any remedy should ensure no party has the advantage over the other politically. The court has set aside 80 minutes for oral arguments today for each side in the case, and we continue to follow that. Both Senator Schultz and Senator Cullen were there this morning for part of the oral arguments. Senator Cullen joins us from via phone in Janesville. Dale here in our Madison studios, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. This is your opportunity, friends, neighbors, and listeners, to ask two of the most well-versed people in the state of Wisconsin, and the last two people to offer a true bipartisan bill on fair maps in the state. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789 will make it easy for you. 844-96-PARTY. That's P-A-R-T-Y. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it on your Apple or Android device. It's quick, it's easy. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. The Civic Media app. Let's go to the text line first. Mark from the SAC on WMDX, listening here in Madison. He says, quote, it's like saying the UP of Michigan is directly contiguous with the lower part of Michigan. Oh, I see. They're both connected by Lake Michigan. And, of course, he is a longtime listener. We know it's a satire there. But, gentlemen, he makes a point, right? I mean, the UP and lower Michigan are not contiguous. Right, Dale?
No, they're not.
Last time I checked.
And I think the reason there's a focus on this, again, I'm not an attorney and I don't pretend to be in the minds.
You don't play one on the radio.
Yeah, I can't even play one on the radio. But I think that this is the key to getting the court to take jurisdiction. It's clearly defined in the Constitution. And once they have a hold of it, then I think they have some license, as the other point you're going to discuss allows them to do some other things.
Senator Cullen, also off the text line here, listening in down at WAUK in Waukesha. This listener says, quote, can you help further explain the separation of powers argument that they're talking about today? This is a little bit nuanced, but Senator Cullen, can you give us some insight on that?
No.
Okay.
I thought you might want a short answer.
No, that's fantastic. You know, honesty has always been one of the strong suits.
I'm not able to do that. I'm not able to. Glad I'm not.
Yeah. Dale has a little bit something here for us, so Dale, give it to them.
Yeah. I kind of alluded to this earlier. You know, we oftentimes hear people say, we want an impartial court. We don't want justices legislating from the bench. They each have a separate role in our form of government, and that's separate and distinct from the executive branch. And they are supposed to keep each other in check by what they do and keep each other honest. What where this becomes an issue is whether or not the legislature was fair in what they did or whether they were political. And what role, if any, does the court have to provide for justice? And the system is sort of set up that they should deal with facts that are brought to them, that there is precedent that they have to deal with. And the larger issue, which I mentioned earlier, that comes up is, doesn't the court have a role to check either executive or legislative branches when it perceives that there is harm to the general public? And that argument is usually framed in this case around the fact that we have overwhelming majorities by the Democrats for all the constitutional offices, and yet somehow or another the Republicans wind up with over 60 of the seats. And I think there is a growing realization that is a result of some heavy-handed use of analytics and computing power. And we'll have to see what the court decides. These are legal scholars. They are very intellectual people who I think care deeply about the people that they represent statewide. And these are not easy cases, as Justice Ann Walsh Bradley said this morning, and I agree with her.
There was a great article in The Guardian here that came out this week, and there's a graphic in there that really puts this, this from Ballotopia, or Ballopedia is the source on that in The Guardian story. And the headline of the graphic says, Wisconsin's state assembly consistently outperforms the state's partisan lean, to your point, Dale. And in 2010, the Republicans of Wisconsin controlled 61% of the seats in the assembly, and the Wisconsin Republicans' share of the vote in the general elections in 2010 was 52%. So they won 52% of the general election vote, but controlled 61% of the seats. That's a 9-point gap. Fast forward to last year, 2022, the Republicans in the assembly they got a 48% of the general election vote, but now control 65% of the seats in the assembly, a 17-point gap. It went from 9 in 2010 to 17-point gap in 2022. And Senator Cullen, I think in a lot of people's minds, you know, you don't have to be a political scientist to say that just doesn't add up.
Well, that's for sure. I mean, it's just so blatantly obvious. And you know, the people have spoken on this issue with these advisory referendums in some 20 counties, including my home county of Rock. And overwhelmingly, in the 70% level, they were saying they wanted fair maps. And in fact, Rock County is the only county I know that actually broke 80. Mm-hmm. 80% in Rock County. Now, Rock County is a Democratic county, but it is not an 80% Democratic county. I say that just to point out that the voters who voted, the 80% that voted, had to include a lot of independents and a lot of Republicans.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that you both talked about in your travels across the state for several years in talking about this issue of gerrymandering, because I think a lot of people think they hear it and they just think, well, you know, I guess that's just politicians do what politicians do. Senator Cullen, could you explain a little, just two of these terms that people might hear about, but they might not understand, called packing and cracking? What does that mean when politicians draw maps, when they pack and crack?
Well, packing means you figure out by zigzagging the lines every complicated way you can, including islands, to stuff as many minority party voters into the smallest number of districts possible. So we've got 199 assembly seats. So if you got maybe 30 seats that are 40 seats that are pretty safe Democratic seats, you want to take by all this modern technology, you want to carve up streets and alleys and you know, whatever you need to do to carve out and put all the Democrats as possible into a small number of seats, and that therefore leaves the ability to have the Republican voters spread over 60-65 out of the 99 seats. And cracking is just cutting up, busting up existing lines to do the packing.
And we see that.
That's how I understand it. Anyway, maybe yeah. Dale's got another additional.
And again, we're talking to former state senators, former Senate Majority Leaders, Tim Cullen, Democrat in Janesville, and Dale Schultz, Republican, who joins us here at our studios in Madison. We appreciate you both being here. But Dale, to Tim's point, that a lot of times what happens is when Republicans draw the maps, as they have for the last couple of times, they try to pack as many Democratic legislators into Dane County and to Milwaukee County. And then in areas like where you represented some swing states, they'll just carve things up. And it makes no sense at all to the average voter of knowing where the heck they're supposed to vote or who they vote for.
Well, I would say that's largely correct. The difference in Western Wisconsin is this, that normally the redistricting process, because of Voting Rights Act and other court cases, begins in the urban part of the state in southeastern Wisconsin, and then they work their way around the state in what's left, usually is southwestern Wisconsin, and the changes aren't quite so obvious as they are in southeastern Wisconsin. The other thing that oftentimes doesn't get mentioned is that the first consideration, of course, is who do we want to save and who do we want to get rid of?
Right.
And you can very easily take somebody's district who even has a solid district and crack it and take away their core support and make them vulnerable. And that's not, I think, what most people think ought to be going on. The process by which this happens, I think most people would say, should be blind to partisan considerations, and it should be fair. And you heard those arguments this morning if you were at the court. And I just believe that the public's feelings about redistricting now are so strong, the court's going to find it very difficult to just do a little tinkering around the edges about Islands. I think they feel the pressure in Wisconsin by the average man and woman who Tim alluded to, having participated in referendums, and they want to see some results.
If you have a question for Dale Schultz or Tim Cullen, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Back on the other side.
93.5 The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. And click on the
this
careers
tab. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Oh, how I'd love to remain in bed. For the hardest blow of all is to hear the bugler call. You gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up this morning.
Someday welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 now before the hour, 1 o'clock. Mr. Zummers chose to reactivate my PSTD or PSTD from my legislative days when Dale would call me at a little after 6 in the morning and say, I'm halfway to Nisita. You're not up yet? Did you ever do that, Senator Cullen, call your staff at 6 in the morning?
No, and they never called me either.
I was just interested in providing good value to the taxpayers in southwestern Wisconsin. Indeed, all of Wisconsin. They should be availed of all your talents.
The taxpayer got their money's worth from the Schultz staff, I'll tell you that much. There was no cheating going. And the Cullen staff as well, also fine folks. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Let's go across the pond to Jay, calling us from London in the UK. Jay, thanks for listening as always. Yeah, what's your question for Senator Cullen and Senator Schultz?
I just want to thank the two gentlemen for their service of the content.
Well, that's very nice of you, Jay. We appreciate that.
I think sometimes people do kind of beat on the politicians, but you know, in life, sometimes people who do good things, they make mistakes. This gentleman, probably they make some mistake, but they have done a lot of good.
I think that's an accurate statement. I think I may have made a few mistakes, but I always tried to balance it out with the preponderance of good things.
Thank you, Jay. Really appreciate the kind
words. Thank you
words.
Very much.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever had kind words said about me from Great Britain. So thank you very much.
There you go.
Yes.
International fans, guys. International fans. Yeah. If you have a question for former State Senator Dale Schultz, Republican, former State Senator Tim Cullen, Democrat, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, talking about gerrymandering, which is before the Wisconsin Supreme Court today. Let's go down to the Shaw, Waukesha on WAUK. Andrew from Waukesha, thanks for listening and calling in. What's your question?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. So I'm very curious to hear the gentleman's thoughts on the redistricting issue, and in particular, an idea that I continue to promote, which is that we don't need new maps, we need more representation. It's been a while since 1970 since we changed the amount of assembly and Senate district, and in that case, we went from 100 assembly seats to 99. At what point are we going to address the fact that 60,000 people per assembly district and three times as much for a Senate district is just way too much, and we need more representation in mass?
Thanks, Andrew. Dale, you want to take it first, then Tim?
Well, I think it's a good point, and I oftentimes hear this argument with Congress more than the state legislature, where the numbers are just astronomical. It's really very difficult to get a feeling for the people back home. You know, I always explain to folks when they ask about what my job was, I'd say my job was to listen to the people back home, understand their deepest held fears and their hopes, take them to Madison, espouse them on the floor for all to hear, and then at the same time to do the same, to listen to all my other colleagues, do the same thing and take that back to the people. In other words, be a dialogue and get to what should be the law in that manner. But when the numbers get so large, it's really almost impossible to do that. Just think about how often you get a chance to have a conversation with your congressperson. You know, it's very difficult, even for the best of them who get out there.
Senator Cullen, what do you say about this question from the caller, Andrew Waukesha? Do we need more representation? In other words, more state senators and assembly people instead of redrawn maps?
Well, first of all, Dale makes a great point. Is it? It's even a huger, more huge issue, huger, more huge issue with Congress and U.S. senators are, you know, they're representing 3-4 million people. But I think where I think that idea could get some traction, I think it's worth exploring, is somehow have a standard that once the population of the state increases by X, or the legislative districts are their number of people they represent is increased by 25% or 50% through population increase, that some more could be added. I think that makes some sense. It is very hard. I mean, when I was in the state Senate the first time, particularly my district was like 160,000 people. Mm-hmm. Well, I used to go out and have office hours and stuff, but, you know, a lot. But people don't get a chance really to talk with you. They can now they can email, of course, and everything else. But yeah. It just is very difficult to have a relationship with a fraction, a smallest fraction of the people you represent. That's the truth of the matter. That's where the person, Andrew, I think it was. Mm-hmm. That's where I think he's got a good point. And maybe just have it set up so that it only happens upon a certain amount of population increase.
State Senator Tim Cullen and Dale Schultz, about 2 minutes before we have to go to this hour. I'll give you each a closing statement, as they say in politics and government these days. Senator Schultz, so we start with you. Your final thoughts on today in the Supreme Court and gerrymandering.
Well, I'm going to go back to where I began. It's quite a show to go there and listen to the justices, hear arguments about cases before the Supreme Court. It takes time. It takes energy. But that's the price we pay for living in a democracy, and we all have to learn to be better participants. And it's worth your while because you're listening to some of the brightest people in the states, in the state, talk about some of the most important issues. So this morning, I think everybody was a winner in terms of the argument that was held and deeply debated. And I'm hoping that at the end of the day, our court is going to take an expansive role and protect the people of the state from undue partisanship.
Senator Cullen from Janesville, your final thoughts, 1 minute, a closing statement on the events of today.
Well, one thing that hasn't been mentioned is that people are so unhappy with government in Madison and government in Washington, and you can actually... this dysfunctional governments that we are watching and living with is a specific, distinct result of gerrymandering. Because there's two elections. There's a general election, which is won the day the maps are drawn, not on election day. Mm. They're a lock because of the way the maps are drawn. There is a second election called the primary. And so these legislators, if they have to worry about anything, they got to worry about a primary. How do you avoid a primary? You only stick with your base. You stick with the extreme of your party. That's where you'll get a primary from. If you get called a compromiser or a moderate or something like that, you're going to get a primary. So it's true of Republicans as well as Democrats, because Democrats have safe seats, just not very many of them. Same deal there. They don't want a primary either. So the whole system of gerrymandering pushes the parties apart so they can't work together.
Former State Senator Tim Cullen, Democrat of Janesville, former State Senate Majority Leader, both Majority Leaders, Dale Schultz, Republican, Richland Center. Appreciate you both. Thank you so much.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks.